This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new Eastern Lariat episode, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling.
I am your host Strigger, of course joined again by El Joven de Cielo Azul y Sangre Caliente, Dylan Harris from beautiful Tennessee. How is it going?
That was an amazing Spanish rendition of my nickname that you just laid on the listeners. I'm sure many don't even know that, but if you are a listener, a long time listener, you'll know that is the Sky Blue Hot Blooded Young Man.
Yeah.
And we're going to get our friend that gave you that information, Manuel Romero on Twitter. Edit that out, by the way.
I won't.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And I speak Spanish somewhat, by the way. I don't know. It's just, I could have a whole psychiatric hotline mess going on right now. But anyway, the point of all this long-winded crap is that we need to get a Spanish translation of your nickname, the German rapper, on this. What does Striga translate to in Spanish?
I have no clue. What does Striga translate to in any language is the better question, I think.
What does that name mean, Striga? That your name alone is a nickname.
So yeah, that would probably take another podcast to explain that. So we don't have much time to go into further details with that one for now. But there are some topics we have to get in more detail because, well, G1 Climax was a busy time in Japanese wrestling, but when we came back 2 weeks ago, we had the Fire Festival, we had Big Japan, we had the Michinoku Pro World Fukumen League, we had all kinds of stuff, the Big Japan Psycho Tag League announcements, and now we have much, much more. And just like our last podcast, I wanted to start with 0-1, because after the Fire Festival, they have another great tournament lined up, actually, which is starting on September 20, and I think it's 2 or 3 dates. I just can't tell you right now, because the 0-1 homepage isn't loading up for me right now, but definitely, they are starting the tournament on September 20 in Shinjuku Face with 10 guys in the tournament, and they have this is a round robin tournament, so two guys get a bye in the first round. So we have the following matchups: Ikuto Hidaka against Takuya Nomura of Big Japan Pro Wrestling. Takuya Nomura is an amazing guy. He is wrestling since March, so only a couple of months in wrestling, and he has already wrestled for, I think, 4 or 5 different companies right now. Great thing that he already was in the K-Dojo K-Metal League, which is a tournament for young guys in Kai and Tai Dojo, and he is now going to be in the 0-1 Junior Tournament as well, facing the veteran Ikuto Hidaka, which could be a great match.
Oh, yeah. To me, like, so we talked about Nomura in his BJW tag tournament last episode, and how excited I am for his team there. But to me, Nomura reminds me a lot of myself. In that, when I first came on to this podcast cold, and I felt like I was a natural. And when Nomura stepped into that ring, it was just like me. He belonged there. And he really is just an awesome wrestler. Hidaka is one of my favorite wrestlers, one of the most underrated people constantly, whether comedic or in great technical wrestling. And that match is going to be a hoot, a certified hoot.
Certified hoot. And those two, the winner of this match is facing Kotaro Suzuki, which should be another hoot.
Oh, yeah.
We have, then, Isami Kodaka facing Shinya Ishida of Sportiva. Then Ultimo Dragon has a opponent that has yet to be named. And we have Shinjiro Otani against Masashi Takeda, the winner of which is going to face Fujita Junior Hayato.
And could it get any better than that?
Yes, yes, it actually can, because the story behind some of the guys, how they got their magic dragon balls.
I was going to bring this up, but go on.
You know, I think Takuya Nomura was handed the magic ball during a Big Japan show, I think by the president of Big Japan. Or the president of Zero, the vice president of 01 came by. I can't remember right now how it happened.
Shinya was a president of some sort.
Yeah, right. Shinya Ishida was handed the magic ball at a 01 show. He is wrestling on the undercards for 01 for some time now. Ultimo Dragon was announced at the Fire Festival finals. Hidaka and Otani were invited at some on some 01 shows as of late, and then we got two very special announcements, because there was a show, is a Freedom show, a pro wrestling Freedom show in Sakata, and Masashi Takeda just found a magic ball lying at the grounds of the forests of Sakata, where the Freedom show took place, and he just found this glowing ball, and he then saw, man, I was added to the Tenkaichi Junior tournament,
just sitting inconspicuously under a tree.
Yeah, right.
I really enjoyed seeing that on Twitter.
And then apparently I couldn't really make the translation really out, but I think it happened that the 01 vice president passed out drunk in the Dropkick Bar in Tokyo, and Isami Kodaka got a hold of a magic ball as well. So that's how he entered the tournament.
The right way. That's how he entered the tournament. First of all, before we go on, how can you not love this?
Yeah.
Any of all of this? You'd have to be made of stone, but I'd like to issue an apology to the listeners. As last week, my broadcast partner referred to the dragon from Dragon Ball Z as Shinlong, as it's Super Shinlong from Dragon Gate, instead of Shinron.
Oh, yeah.
As I listened back to the podcast, I noticed that I was like, Shinlong? But that made me laugh, and I appreciated that. But I would just like to set the record straight for the Dragon Ball Z fans, much like myself.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No one blames you. The point is, this tournament is going to rock.
Yeah, they have the second round and the finals taking place in Shinkiba First Ring on September 29. So, that's the Tenkaichi Junior Tournament update for 01.
Any idea who the mystery man fighting Ultimo Dragon is? Do you have any suspicions about
that? No.
Taichi.
Oh, God. Okay. Please, no. didn't he already ruin a tournament?
He's done enough.
But, oh, man.
I'm sure 01's smarter than that, but I'm sure whoever they bring in is probably going to be great. I can't wait to see Dragon and all these guys in the tournament. I think it's going to be a really cool tournament. I think everybody should definitely check this out.
Yeah, it could possibly be Black Tiger 7 or something something like that. We'll
speculation of who that could be.
We'll see, man. Maybe someday we will have a tag match with Black Tiger 5, Black Tiger 6, Takaiwa, and another Black Tiger.
yes, Takaiwa.
Because
Rocky Romero.
Yeah, right. Because, well, we are going to get to that when we talk about Tokyo Gurentai. But you had another talking point, and you made me watch, well, I would have watched it anyway, but it wasn't on my short list, to be honest, because I had been on other stuff this week. Not some Japanese stuff, just some other wrestling I watched this week. But you insisted on watching some All Japan stuff as well. So I watched the Zuama versus Zeus match from August 20, and from the same show, the All Japan Tag Team Title match, Daisuke Sekimoto and Yuji Okabayashi defending against Jun Akiyama and Daichi Hashimoto. Did you watch the entire show?
I watched all of 827 of All Japan, as well as the 831 Phoenix show. Which, before we go any further, okay, I know you didn't watch that, but everyone check out, we were just talking about Nomura, check out his match versus Kento Miyahara on the AJ Phoenix show.
Yeah,
on the 831. It was awesome. And it was only like 8 or 9 minutes, so everyone should watch that.
Definitely going to check out that show, but I like to watch my wrestling, my wrestling in order, so I just went back to watch some of the matches from the August 20 show. Sekimoto and Okabayashi against Akiyama and Hashimoto had this classic big brother, little brother feeling when Akiyama and Hashimoto had their sequences with Sekimoto and Okabayashi, who of course are also a team of teacher and student, but as Okabayashi has grown so much over the past couple of years, he is on one level with Sekimoto, basically. But
and they told that story really excellently in BJW,
yes,
as we saw him putting over Kametani this year, just the same way Sekimoto did to Okabayashi last year. So I totally agree with you.
They are just doing that so well. And Hashimoto had his moments in this match, but overall it was just a fun outing for Hashimoto to be in the main event. The story behind that was that he wanted to win the All Japan Tag Team title because. I think wasn't his dad tag team champion in All Japan as well, or was I can't remember.
He was a lot. He was the Triple Crown champion. Wasn't
yeah,
he?
So, I'm just looking that up. But yeah. overall, it was a fun match in the main event. Nothing too special, but just a good outing for young Hashimoto. And then we went on to the. Oh no! I have to talk about Zeus and Zuama from that same show as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Did you see the match?
Yes, I saw both matches. And I wanted to ask you, because we've seen Zuama a couple times, specifically about Zuama. What do you think of him since he's returned from his injury?
The thing that I noticed in the Zeus match was that Zeus was basically doing like 75% of the work. Yes.
Zuama is looking a little rough right now.
Yeah, man, he has come back from a Achilles tendon tear, so it's tough to come back after such a bad injury. And he only took 6 months off, so maybe he's still not really sure about what he can do in the ring. And it's very obvious that he's letting guys like Zeus take the lead in the matches that he has with them, which is kind of funny because when Zuama had his injury, Zeus wasn't what he was now, what he is now.
Yeah.
Zeus wasn't really that good that he could really lead a singles match of 18 minutes like he had with Zuama now. But now Zeus is so good that he just has the ability to do that, and he has the ability to lead a match with a returning Zuama, and that's just something that All Japan didn't have for the majority of 2015. Just guys, apart from the top, really top guys, who are able to lead a good singles match. And in the end, it was a fine match because of Zeus, and I think with more experience after his comeback, I think Zuama will get back to his old self, I think.
I totally agree with you on Zeus. For a long time, I was really down on Zeus and Bodyga, as some people know him as, but I'm still kind of down on Bodyga. But Zeus, to me, rocks right now. I really think he's been one of the most enjoyable guys especially heavyweights at his size. He works really well within his style, within his position on the card. And like you said here, he totally really carried the load in this match here with Zuwama. I thought he did a great job. And in general, Zeus is someone I think if they wanted to get behind some, he could be, you know, someone if they want to take to the next level, he would be the guy right now of the kind of not main eventers, but, as you said, that level of guy. And, like you said, Suwama, he'll have his time to get better. It's just, it's going to have to come soon, as many people think he's going to get a title shot and win this tournament.
Yeah,
so he needs to hurry up with that.
Let's talk about that when we go to the H27 show, because...
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing about this 820 show.
Yeah.
Did you see Yohei Nakajima versus Billy Kidkin?
No. Okay. I only saw some clips from it, and I heard that Billy Kidkin does a 450 that isn't that good.
Spoiler alert, he does a 450 that wasn't that good. No, I don't like this decision. I really like Nakajima. I think Yohei is really underrated by a lot of people. And this title switch just, to me, makes the title just to do this flip-flopping style they've been doing with this. I didn't like the idea of... No offense to Billy Kidkin, but Yohei's someone I think he's right now near, lower mid-card, I guess you could say. He's someone I think could get a rise up if they tried. I just didn't understand this idea of him losing to Billy Kidkin at all.
You know the entire existence of this Gaora TV title.
yes, exactly.
At this point, it just takes away talent from the junior heavyweight division.
which is
needed so badly because they don't have any guys. That's why Hikaru Sato basically defended the title outside of All Japan in DDT and lost it to a DDT guy. They just don't have any guys, and they just take away Yohei Nakajima, who could be a great junior heavyweight champion.
That's a good.
And it's just that apparently Gaora TV wanted to get a title belt, and they have that now. And
this is the remnants of the Shiraishi era.
No. I think that was already established in 2012, I believe.
You're probably right on that. But just to jump to Sato for a second, because I really love his team with Aoki. That they had a match for the All Asia Tag Team Titles. Shortly after, they had a Dove Pros Ray Paloma.
Yeah.
And Shoichi Uchida. They had a really cool match here, and Aoki and Sato looked awesome, I thought, as a tag team. And I'm a big fan of them as the All Asia Tag Team Champions. And as you said, almost in a weird way, those are almost kind of like the de facto junior tag titles. Right?
They are.
And they've been for a while, but especially now. And I just want to put praise on Sato and Aoki. For some reason, what is the deal with this backlash against Sato on Twitter? I keep reading about it. There's been so much criticism.
Well, I think it's based on his choice of fashion and not on his wrestling.
Well, whatever. but I think this guy's great, and he teams up really well with Aoki. And
I really don't think there is a backlash against his wrestling. I think it's really just his fashion style.
His hair is. Well, there's no question about this.
Yeah.
But let's just focus on the wrestling. Don't judge this man for his fashion choices. He's Japanese. If you're looking at things from Western eyes when you criticize his hair and his kick pads. I know a lot of people hate that he doesn't wear boots with the kick pads. But I like it, though. I think it makes him stand out, sort of. Kind of.
Kind of.
I don't.
Yeah, that's
all I'm saying.
That was the show in Kobe. Kobe Sambo Hall, drawing 551 fans. It's, I think, like a little bit more than half full for that venue and that city. Not a traditional stronghold for All Japan Pro Wrestling. So
yeah, they had Naoki Tanizaki from Dragon Gate. in the opener.
Yeah, you know, that's the Kobe Osaka region. It's not that far away. They had many Osaka based guys like Tadisaki, Hayata. They had Billy Ken Kidd, as you said, Ray Paloma, and Shoichi Ushida, who are Duff Pro regulars.
Gichan, there, Gabai Gichan.
Gabai Gichan. And yeah, it was just the two main matches I saw were really good. Check them out. And
check out that tag match too for All Asia Tag Title.
Yeah. But yeah, so this was the show on the 20th, and then All Japan went to Nagoya because at the last defense Miyahara had was, I think, early August, late July against...
It was in July versus Akiyama.
July versus Akiyama, and then Rojisai came out because he beat Takuya Nomura on that show. And we had that title match on the 27th. But before that, there was an undercard. Did you see the card?
Yes, I've seen this entire show.
All right. Then the floor is yours.
Nomura versus Jake Lee, I saw it. They had a nice little match here. It went to the time limit draw, both men. You know, they tried really hard here. Jake Lee, there's a lot. Nomura is obviously, pretty much everyone thinks this guy's great. Nomura, not the BJW Nomura.
Yeah.
But everyone thinks he's awesome. Lee, he's up and down, I would say, but I think he's growing.
He's slowly getting better.
I think you're totally right. The ending to this was awesome, but they just started going nuts right before the time limit ran out for the 15-minute draw. So I thought that was really good. Omori and Tamura, Kazuhiro Tamura and Takao Omori, I thought the big gun.
The X-Bombers of...
Yeah.
Tamura and Omori.
Yeah, the axe bomber. Just if anyone knows me, they know I love me some Omori. And I like Tamura a lot as well. And I like the Big Guns as a tag team as well. So this was really good. Nothing mind-blowing or anything like that. But just something cool to check out. You know, anytime Tamura's in All Japan, he's a great representative of a promotion we'll probably get into a little bit later. Akiyama and Hashimoto teamed again. They took on the team of Yutaka Yoshi and Masashi Takeda. And it was all the matches are, you know, kind of like real, you know, good, but nothing mind blowing. You know, nothing you have to go out of your way to see. But it's just cool to see Hashimoto and Akiyama as a tag team.
Yeah.
So you definitely need to check that out. And what do you think of Yoshi and his run with All Japan right now?
Well, Yoshi is kind of a guy like Rojisai and a guy like Rikia Fudo, who they brought in, who is working with Pro Wrestling Lance and with Rojisai as well. I was just talking about that they only had this few top guys who can lead a match. And with guys like Sai, Fudo, and also Super Tiger, and Yoshi, they have guys. They are not under contract, but they have experienced guys to fill up the roster, and they needed that, and they have done that, and that was really important for All Japan. And now they have a roster of many freelance guys and some core guys they have under contract, and I think that's a good base to build on.
A lot of unique styles too.
Yeah,
but sweet. And like, you know, Tamura is different than Super Tiger. Super Tiger is different than Yoshi. You know, Sai brings his thing to the table. But yeah, now we're gonna get into the matches you saw, I believe.
Yes, because I saw the All Japan World Tag Team Title match, Strong BJ, Daisuke Sekimoto, and Yuji Okabayashi against the team of Evolution, Suwama, and his new partner Super Tiger from Real Japan Pro Wrestling. What's your opinion on Super Tiger in general?
Super Tiger, I will always have a soft spot for anyone from Battle Arts.
Yeah.
First of all, in this match though, there were some issues with some of his kicks, I thought.
Yeah, that's what I noticed too. Yes.
Yeah. I can't be that biased to overlook such things. So I thought Suwama again looked a little you know, he looked a little better than he did a week before, but, you know, I thought this was mainly the tag champs that carried this one, and it went a little long, too. I thought, too, that was a bit of an issue.
Yes, like 22 minutes was a little long for that match. It's just, with Super Tiger, it's an issue with most of the guys that are coming from the companies like Real Japan or IGF. We talked about that when we talked about Shogun Okamoto. Mm-hmm. They train a lot. They train with very good wrestlers like Yoshiaki Fujiwara and Satoru Sayama, the first Tiger Mask.
Yep.
They have great training routines, but in the end, they rarely wrestle because they wrestle for companies that only run like once every 2 months or so. And with Super Tiger and now the IGF guys who branded away from IGF and wrestle for 01 and all of these other companies like FMW and Fire Pro Wrestling and so on and so on.
Yeah.
With more experience, those guys will get better at. Super Tiger's already 39 years old, but I think he still has the chance to get better. And he's slowly showing that as well. And he had some critics, but right now those critics are also noticing that he's getting slightly better, and that's also some base to build on.
Another problem too is when he was in Battle Arts, like he had some actually really awesome matches, mostly with like way better wrestlers than him.
Yeah, but, that's the issue.
Yeah, but the thing in Battle Arts too is you could pretty much just go all out and not have to worry about anything, you know. You don't have to hold back in Battle Arts pretty much. In All Japan, it's much more leaner, you know, safer style. It's not because you know sometimes in Battle Arts things can get a little crazy when it comes to violence and just you know things of that nature. Not violent, just hard hitting, I guess you could say, but. I think in All Japan, he tries to hold back, and he does it too much.
You know, that's an issue with many shooters that I notice that they just try to hold back their kicks. It always looks so awkward.
Yeah, you know, and Tiger actually did some okay stuff in the Champions Carnival he was in.
Yes, 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 because I was really high on him.
Yeah, me too.
High on him is, I think, too much to too much, but I was happy he was in the tournament because he's just something different. And as you said in our last episode, excuse me, I think you said that you just like a variety of styles, and he's just bringing that.
Exactly. So I appreciate him, but I was not in love with this tag match. I didn't think the challengers really brought. They were a little off their game, both men, but I thought, Sekimoto and Okabayashi, they're as good as they always are.
Right.
It's not a wasted viewing. I thought they could have cut some time off, and I wish Tiger's kicks were a little better. You know, Sayama would not have been happy if he saw this match.
You know, the main issue with the All Japan World Tag Team title right now is that there is just no team that believably could beat Strong BJ. So, I don't know who they are going with.
The only thing I can imagine something like that happens is if, like, you know, Wild Burning reunited or something like that.
Yeah.
But every other possible combination of guys, I totally agree with you on.
Well, they could go back to the big guns, but that wouldn't be such a great story.
Or maybe if there's a super team with Miyahara teaming up with Akiyama like that.
That could work too.
But other than that, like you said, they don't really have anyone else that could believably dethrone Strong BJ, which it's fine. I'm sure we'll see that when the real world tag league comes around.
Yeah, because usually they vacate the All Japan World Tag Team title right before the World Tag League, and then it's up for grabs.
Yeah, you could see something like, you know, Strong BJ getting counted out or a draw or something like that to let someone else get the title, new team.
For example, yeah. You could see that. But right now, Kento Miyahara is still handling his other business of defending the Triple Crown again, this time against Ryuji Sai. And what did you think of that match?
Well, Miyahara's just got such a high standard with his title match this year. I've really loved him. I thought that match with Akiyama is every bit of match of the year candidate.
Yes.
And that, but it got really good by the end, I thought. I thought Sai held his own here. I really like Sai's, you know, the discrepancy against Miyahara here. It kind of brought back to Miyahara's match with Sekimoto that he had in May. It kind of a poorer man's version of that. but I watched it and I thought, you know, this was a good match. And to me, Miyahara can do no wrong. I actually, to be honest with you, this was another long match. It was about as long as the tag titles, the tag title match. And I kind of enjoyed his match with Nomura on the 831 show as good or better than this match. But I thought Sai looked, you know, good for what he is. Miyahara's awesome, as always. But what'd you think?
Well, you know, you just said it. This match was also like 22 minutes long. And I'm just looking at Miyahara's defense record. It was his fifth defense. And all of his Triple Crown matches are like around that time, around the time frame, like 20 minutes, 22 minutes, 23 minutes. And in every title match, he is the one fighting from underneath. He is the one getting the comeback in the end, which always leads to a great finish, like you mentioned, you know? But it's always a good match, but it's always kind of the same match, if you know what I'm getting to. You know, it would be nice for a change if Miyahara had a guy who he's dominating against in his title match, and when the challenger just gets a brief gets his shine against the champion, but the champion in the end is the dominating part and wins, because early in his title reign it was completely okay to portray Miyahara as this underdog champion because he was so new at the top. But right now he has established himself on top, and I think he should be presented like that and not always fighting from underneath and getting his comeback and winning in the end. What I will say though is that the story of this match was good, because everything that Sai did in this match was leading up to his double foot stomp finisher. He worked over Miyahara's body part with different maneuvers, like he used some kicks and threw him onto the top rope, and always against the midsection of Miyahara. And then he already also had him in the position for his double foot stomp, but Miyahara rolled out of the way, and when he rolled out of the way, Sai landed in the middle of the ring, and Miyahara hit him with his running knee strike, which was great spot in this match. So in the end, it was a good title match again, but it's getting a little bit it's getting a little bit stale right now with Miyahara, which is why I have an idea for his future, and I just want to hear what you have to say to my viewing point of that match.
I totally get where you're coming from, and that's why I would recommend that match with Nomura. He had an 8:31, because it's in that vein that I wanted to see, and I, like you just said, I know you wanted to see. So check that one out, first of all.
Yeah.
But in terms of a title defense, I actually think you couldn't have described it better than you did there. I think you make a great point in terms of him working from underneath, and I also think that they did some different things in this match with Sai, as the power man working over his midsection, as you said, to set up his finisher. I thought it was very logically done. I think that it could have been helped if they had changed up the length a little bit. I think that was a great point on your part. But in general, like I said, I still think this was a really good match, all in all. But, what is your take, or what is your idea from Miyahara?
The outcome that everyone is basically looking for is that Zuwama is winning the Royal Road tournament. He defeated Miyahara in the first round. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Miyahara has had a great run. He has been champion since February, and he's going in as champion for the Sumo Hall show in November. And I believe that the overall assumption is that Miyahara is defending against Zuwama. I would suggest that Zuwama beats Miyahara, because then Miyahara could go on a road to redemption, and then go on to win the Champion Carnival next April, and then get his big win over Zuwama.
I think that is a perfectly logical idea right there. I think a lot of people, and I think we talked about this tournament with Zuwama, I think we thought about that idea, not necessarily winning the Champions Carnival, but Zuwama winning the title. My only hesitation on that is right now, is Zuwama ready for that kind of thing to be the champion?
That's the,
He still looks really hurt to me, as we've seen in this title match, his tag title match and his match with Zeus. I'd like to see a little more time. And they could hold off on the title match with Zuwama and Miyahara. They could hold off for a couple of months if they're not confident. But otherwise, if they could do that, I would like to see maybe someone else in that spot. But I like your idea of Miyahara coming back. And I think next time he gets the title, or if they continue down this road, if they really want him to be champion, I think I totally agree with you. He is the ace of this company. I think he's really proven himself in this title reign. It's time for him to really get some respect in his matches in terms of working on top some more instead of continuing to claw his way back, kind of be the underdog champion almost in some ways. But I really like your idea though, Strick. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, the thing is, the title match would be in late November. And up until that point, I think Zuwama should be to normal. If not, All Japan has another problem. So
that is true. What do you think about Kendo Kasha challenging for the title, running the gauntlet?
I recently had to think back when I saw that Taru had his 20th anniversary show. I think 20 or 15. I think 20.
You thought back to who is worse than Kendo Kasha?
No. I thought back to the time when Taru was challenging for the Triple Crown. So
those were dark days.
Those were dark days, and so Kendo Kashin wouldn't be much worse than that.
Yeah. Hopefully, we don't see those days return.
Right. But in the end, two good matches. While the tag team title match was good, but not that good, but the Triple Crown match overall was a good match. And as you said, fun undercard. I'm going to check that out.
All solid stuff.
Did they show the match of Keisuke Okada and Ultimate Dragon against Zushi and Yoi Nakajima?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
They may have, but I don't think they did, to be honest with you.
Okay.
The first match I saw was Nomura and Jake Lee.
Okay. That was the second match on that show, but alright. If you didn't see that, that's fine. But on this show, on this All Japan show, there were Atsushi Aoki facing off against Soma Takao in a six-man tag team match, of course, leading up to their eventual All Japan World Junior Tag Team title match on the big DDT show on the Sunday 2 weeks ago. We are not going to review this show in all details because it's just too much to talk about, right? It would take forever. Let me just say this. The show was long to watch it live. It was a good show, but like most DDT shows, it's not a show that's necessarily built on great in-ring product, but DDT has its focus on their comedy aspect. For example, like on this show, we had the Iron Man Heavy Metal title, which some fans from the US know that Joey Ryan has been holding on to and losing to guys and giving it around in the US. He returned to Japan now, and he apparently lost the title. Did he lose the title to Owashi first or to the chicken, the grilled chicken? I think he lost the title to the grilled chicken first. So he lost the title to Yakitori, which is, as I said, as it mentioned, a grilled chicken. And this grilled chicken lost the belt to Toru Owashi, And then Owashi was schoolboyed by Joey Ryan again. Then backstage, the Yakitori beat Joey Ryan because Joey Ryan didn't want to eat the chicken. And I think somebody ate the chicken after the show. But I'm not sure who it was that ate the chicken. The Iron Man Heavy Metal title Battle Royal was a lot of fun. Great eliminations with Kenzo in this match. Just a fun time. Jun Kazai was in that. Yoshihiko The Undertaker was in that match. So I really had a great time and laughing a lot when that match happened. Did you see the match too?
One of my favorite parts of this match was my man, Kazuki Hirata.
Yeah.
Fighting the meat on the stick or whatever this was.
Yeah.
And he got him in an armbar. What was this, man? Like, I don't know how he did that, but I also thought Yoshihiko was
working a broomstick like Ric Flair in his best days.
Yes, exactly. And Jun Kasai triggering Tokyo! That was great. I love Kazuki Hirata. I just want to put that up. But that was very...
Yeah, Kazuki Hirata is now getting a shot at the All Japan Junior Heavyweight title.
That was one of my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah, definitely. We had, after almost 1 year, finally the return of Kudo. Kudo teamed with Masahiro Takanashi, taking on Akito and Yasu Urano, in which I thought was a fine match, but Kudo looked, you know, he has been off for 1 year, and it's going to take time. Like with Suwama, it's going to take time.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I like that they targeted his injury in
this
match.
Yes, they did.
So they went after the knee. So it was a good little match, but nah, you're totally right on Kudo.
Yeah. One thing we need to go back to. There was the DNA offer match. No, it was the first match, I think, when Nobuhiro Shimatani almost killed himself with a nasty looking moonsault to the outside. He almost landed on his head. That looked really scary. But then we had the the new World Idol Group, which is shortened NWA, as idol is Japanese, you know, idolo.
Yeah, I adore it, yeah.
Yeah, right. The NWA in DDT Festival 2016 to join Learning from Sasadango, the way to survive the entertainment industry. We had a great presentation by Sasadango again. Apparently, Sasadango tweeted some very strange things about the audience of DDT recently.
Yeah, what was that all about?
It's really strange that you attack your main audience. He basically attacked the young girls in the audience, saying, I think he said that they don't have the money to buy tickets or something like that.
But what was even stranger about that was Takagi retweeting this.
Yeah. And
I was like, whose side are you on? But I totally agree, at DDT especially, of all promotions, to make this complaint. DDT and Dragon Gate saying this is just, he had a brain fart that day.
He already was punished for that at the DDT show last weekend on September 3rd. He lost in the dark match to Hoshitango in 4 minutes. So
that is punishment.
That is punishment. But yeah, that match saw
a lot of fun, though, this match.
Yeah, the NWA team is great with Makoto Ishii, Shuma Katsumata, and Mao. They legit sang their entrance with no playback. They just went on stage and sang their song.
It was brave.
Yeah. And they teamed with Sasadango against Antonio Honda, Trans M, Hiroshi, Ladybeard, and gorgeous Matsuno. Well, Matsuno is Matsuno, but the other guys in the match played their part. They sang some songs inside the ring. Which song was it that Hiroshi sang?
Well, I can't
remember, but it was great. But that was the fun portion of the match, of the show, which then led to the All Japan Tag Team, the All Japan World Junior title match, Takao and Hikaru Sato. 17 minutes long, and in my opinion, too slow for a match on a card like this.
I totally agree with you. I thought this was good for my taste, but way out of place.
Yeah.
DDT, I thought. But, you know, at Takao winning is you know, that's pretty nice. They played up, you know, this battle with a submission expert here. You know, it is very slow paced, as you mentioned. There's very meticulous, I thought. But I thought it was good for what it was. But like you said, I wish it had been on an All Japan show instead of this one.
Yes. Story
but
of
the best part of this was the post match, though, as Takao laid out a challenge and who answered the call, Strigger.
Well, yeah, he came out. Tokyo Go.
Yes, Tokyo Go.
Tokyo Katsuki Hirata came out, took the challenge. What I wanted to say is that, of course,
yeah,
the story being that Soma Takao never lost at a Peter Pan show.
He's the Undertaker.
He's the Undertaker of DDT of sorts, yeah.
I would love if, like, Mag Tokyo came out to answer the challenge. They need to do that one day. Just have everyone think it's Hirata, and then Magna Tokyo actually comes out.
So
I would love
to. Yeah, right. Someday they have to do that. There is a great review of that show on the Dramatic DDT side as well as on voicesofwrestling.com, because there is no way to explain the DDT Extreme title match in our time frame here right now, when Danchokudino beat Lilico for the championship, because you have to read up on all those circumstances that I just can't sum up right now. Fun match again was the special tag team match Sanshiro Takagi, Shiro Koshinaka and Osawa Rongai against the great Kabuki, Yukio Sakaguchi and Kota Umeda. Just a freak show, nothing else. And then we had a very interesting match. Daisuke Sasaki and Tetsuya Endo taking on Dick Togo and Mike Bailey. Endo won with a Sky Twister press on Bailey, but Dick Togo really took it to his tag team partner.
That was crazy. when he ran in with the chair, it was like, Bailey got busted wide open. Here. Yeah, Togo, this was a shoot, I think. It felt like almost like a literal shoot. But yeah, Damnation, they looked pretty cool in this match. But the things went off the rails a little by the end. But it was a good match leading up to that, I thought.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to say it.
Yeah. Again, nothing too special on this show. Some good interactions with Daisuke Sasaki and Mike Bailey. Mike Bailey is really a great fit in DDT. He can have matches, great matches. He had a fun match with Kota Umeda on one of the DDT beer garden shows. He has great interactions with Daisuke Sasaki, and I think with him in DDT, they really have a great foreigner.
Yeah, totally agree. Bailey fits right in with DDT, his style. He also does not wear shoes.
Yeah.
You know, people who hate Hikaru Sato can, you know, those the hypocrites that hate Hikaru Sato but will praise Mike Bailey. But you know, this was a good little match. I just thought the ending was really crazy. I don't know if I missed something or just Dick Togo is just awesome and crazy, which is how I took it.
He is awesome and crazy. So basically, he just threw a chair at his partner's back of the head. Yeah.
Yeah. Did that make sense?
No.
Like I said, I think things kind of went off the rails. There may have been some miscommunication or something, but, you know, I felt bad for Bailey because he did get hurt pretty bad with that
chair. Yeah, he went to the hospital and everything was fine, but it looked really nasty. He was in a pile of his own blood.
Yeah, the blood was another thing that was out of place on the show.
Right.
I felt like, yeah, that was unfortunate.
Talking about out of place, the tag team title match?
No, this is perfect.
Is it?
I love this match. I love this tag team. Both tag teams.
I love both tag teams too, but it didn't really do anything for me.
I thought it was okay. I thought they were in a rough spot because the last match was kind of, you've got the great workers, so to speak, and you know, Togo and Bailey, and Indo, but, and these guys couldn't really follow it. The team, obviously, of Yankee Smile, you know, Hirashima and Yuko Miyamoto, and Bad Kombi, Kinoka and Kai. As we know, Kai is the man. Hirashima is very cool as well, and they did good. I thought Hirashima and Miyamoto worked really well together for this mismatch kind of tag team. I like this match a little bit. It was good. I didn't think it was, you know, I don't think it's a match of the year candidate by any means or anything, but it was a solid little match, I thought. I thought Kai worked really good with both men. Especially, I thought the Kai and Hirashima interactions were really good.
It's a...
Also note that he did hit a huge buckle bomb on Hirashima.
Yeah.
So somehow, Hirashima wasn't injured on this move. I couldn't believe it. There's a lot of talk on that move is that it's just impossible to do.
Yeah, people shouldn't do this move, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't hurt though. It was fine.
Yeah,
it was devastating looking though. I will say,
it just a sad end to the reign of Kai and Oka.
Very sad.
Like many reigns of Kai, have a sad ending.
Oh God. No.
So this match just really never got going for me. May have been the thing that this show was really going long. I think it was something around 6 hours.
Live, by the way, it was nearly 6 hours. I did not watch this live, by the way.
I did.
Well, I would have probably had the exact same opinion. What do you think of the main event then?
Yeah, the main event I thought was a good match. It wasn't too long, with 19 minutes, I think was a good length for the match, and they really played it up well, that Shuji Ishikawa was always working over the midsection of Takeshita, similar like Miyahara did, or Miyahara was done to by Roji Sai. So, in the end, this was a good match because you have to tell the story like that Shuji Ishikawa is the dominating heel in this match and Konosuke Takeshita is the face underdog. That's the natural story and they went with it and it made a good main event for this Sumo Hall show.
Yeah, it was good. There was total destruction at the end.
Yes.
With Ishikawa, I thought that was awesome. And that really took this over the top, in my opinion. I thought it was a good little match up until that point, and by the end, I thought, man, that was great. Like with Ishikawa, and I also loved the post match of Sasaki yelling at everyone. And it just seems like,
yeah, what did he do? He basically yelled at his own partner. He slapped him in the face. I didn't have an internet connection for the last couple of weeks, so I couldn't really read up anything on that, but it was weird to see that.
Yeah, like, but I don't know. I guess he's just kind of like... he's an egomaniac.
He is, but, yeah.
But it's almost kind of like... I like how he's kind of like almost living vicariously through Ishikawa as the champion.
You know what is happening to Daisuke Sasaki slowly but surely? With his black leather jacket and his long black hair, he's slowly transitioning to Atsushi Onita.
We needed another one. We needed the next generation of this. If that happens, he's going to go over the entire roster, though.
Oh, man. But yeah, DDT has something great lined up. They have had a tag team of Yoshihiro Takayama and Katsusada Higuchi at the last weekend they won against Yukio Sakaguchi and Kota Umeda, and also they have, I think, for an upcoming show, I think Takayama and Owashi in some form or fashion, but most definitely Katsusada Higuchi won a battle royale to become the number one contender for the KOD Openweight title that Shuji Ishikawa has won now. And so, on the show, on the DT Dramatic General Election show on September 29, there are three matches set It's a get the name recognition groom decision special five-way match. Mitsuki Watase versus Makoto Ishii versus Super Sasadango Machine versus Bernard Aka and Danshoku Dino. Well, it's about something about the about Lilico being the bride and who's going to be the groom. This DDT stuff, you know.
I hated that match, by the way, on that show, the Lilico match. I thought it was really bad, to be honest with you. I don't know if I said that with Dino. I wasn't a big fan of that one. But they do have a good storyline going.
That's the main issue. They have the storyline going, and that's what they are going with. It's not about the wrestling. It's about the comedy. And you either like that or don't. It's what it is.
Yeah, you're right. That one I can't really blame. It's kind of crazy. But
on that same show, we have Harashima and Yuko Miyamoto defending the tag team title against Daisuke Sasaki and Tetsuya Endo, which should be a great match.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And, of course, then Shuji Ishikawa against Katsusada Higuchi. Two big guys going for the KOD Openweight title.
And Higuchi had a great match earlier in the year with Harashima.
Yeah.
For the same title. And this match is going to take on an entirely different dynamic, and I can't wait for it. I think this is going to be awesome. I love Higuchi. We praised Higuchi to the moon in the past, with good reason. And do you think this team with Takayama, like Takagi or whoever was in charge, and they saw his partner Shimomura hit that horrible moonsault on the outside and just said, we need to get this guy a new partner, you know?
Yeah. We should get him a new partner. And I said he should go onto a DDT, onto a tag team title run of terror with Takayama. So,
yes.
Higuchi and Takayama would be a great team for DDT.
I was talking to somebody on Twitter about this the other day, about Takayama's old team with Minoru Suzuki and how awesome it was.
Yeah.
And they were pretty much booked in New Japan that year as unstoppable. And this could be their second coming of that with Higuchi and Takayama. Just destroy the tag division. Higuchi's still young, so he could, you know, just dominate. And Higuchi is awesome. And I can't wait for his match with Ishikawa.
Right. Right. They should really go with the tag team. Yeah, this show, DDT show, it's the biggest show of the year for DDT. They drew like around 5,000 fans, I believe, for that.
That Higuchi Takayama team, what do you think of them competing in the All Japan Tag League?
Oh yeah, exactly.
That's my idea.
They would be the team to beat Strong BJ.
Yes, that would be perfect.
Yeah, but onto another show. Show that was almost as crazy as this DDT show, but nothing is on the level of DDT, of course. But I made you watch the Tokyo Gurentai show, Tokyo Love, that was supposed to have Nosawa, Rongai, and Terry Funk in the main event, but that fell apart because Terry Funk, I think, had a hamstring injury or something like that, and couldn't make it to Japan, so they switched around the card.
Get well soon, Funkster.
What?
Get well soon, Funkster.
Yes. And the show, this show actually started with a, well, I wouldn't exactly call it a match, because it was the Tokyo Intercontinental Tag Team title match. Hikaru Sato and Ryo Kawamura beat Daisuke Ikeda and Takuya Kai. And this Takuya Kai dude, you know, he was totally, totally off. He didn't have any idea what he was doing.
No. No. This was really bad.
Man. And this went 17 minutes opening match of this show.
No wonder people are turning on Sato. he's stuck with this.
We can't talk shit about our friend of the show, Rocky Kawamura, of course.
Yeah, Rocky Kawamura.
Yes. He's a great guy.
He threw some good punch.
Yeah, but he couldn't do anything too because
no.
the guys he was working with just didn't show up for work. Ikeda as well. You know, Ikeda looked so bad in this match too.
I know, it pained me so much.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
You know how I am. Battle Arts and Futen, the legend, and he's fallen to this. and it was bad. I'm poor Sato. And Kawamura as well. I think if they had better opponents, we could have seen something better. But Ikeda was just not feeling this. And Kai, ooh boy. I'm not looking forward to seeing him again based on this performance.
Man, let's...
it only gets better.
it really got better from here, because then we had a summer vacation special tag match. Kaz Hayashi teaming with Masao Inoue and Jiro Ikemen Kurushio from Wrestle1 to take on Chavo Guerrero Classic.
Yeah.
Mitsuo Momota and Shikara. The third generation Rikidozan. Well, what I liked about that match was that Jiro was really getting a lot of in-ring time, and that Chavo didn't get a lot of in-ring time. And the thing is, you know, about Shikara Momota, he's bad, and he knows he's bad. And there were some really clumsy moments in this match when he tried to run over the guys laying on the ground. He just tripped and fell down, and that looked so goofy. But the guy just loves wrestling, and he just wants to compete, and that's just adorable, kind of, you know.
I totally agree with you. Like, when you told me this, I had a totally different perspective on Chikara after that. But the question is, you know, Chikara just wants to have fun. But what is Inoue's excuse? You know. And I say this as someone, and I will say, long live the Dark Agents. And yes. Even I don't believe that. and the most random yet awesome GHC title match ever.
That was so fun.
It was amazing. But my God, what is he doing in the ring? Is he wrestling anymore? Or doing something? It's like, you know, someone... You know, if you started talking, you know, it's one thing if you talk to me, you know, in English, I would understand. If you talk to me in German, I may not understand, but at least I know you're talking. If you started talking in some sort of made-up alien gibberish, you know, or robotic language, I think that's what Inoue is to wrestling. He's not any known language. He's code at this point. I don't know. But I thought Hayashi, you know, and Jiro tried.
Yes, they tried. They tried. So, but it got better from there, because then we had Daisuke Sekimoto facing Kikusawa, a guy who still looks a lot like this Kikutaro guy, you know.
But he had a very nice black and pink indie attire.
Yeah,
the most generic indie attire.
I liked this match because it was a good outing for Kikusawa. They just had a nice little strong BJ match in Tokyo Gorontai here.
Yeah, it was so needed after the last two matches. You know, this to me was like 5 stars just after watching the last two matches, and I was surprised to see Kikuzawa take to this style so well with Sekimoto. He looked pretty nifty here. They did some good stuff. I like this match.
Yes, and in the end, Kikuzawa took a great German suplex, a great deadlift German. There was this one moment in the match where Sekimoto was already going for the deadlift German, but he somehow tripped and couldn't hold his balance anymore. But they didn't go right back to the German suplex, but they went back to some lariats, and Sekimoto did his frog splash, and then they went back to the German suplex, and Kikusawa had a great dead man's face when Sekimoto did his deadlift German. That looked great.
I also love the chat battle that preceded it as well. I like that Kikuzawa was real, real good here. He had an awesome backdrop on Sekimoto at one point, I thought. This was just the right time, too. It was about 15 minutes or so. You know, good stuff there. Just very solid mid-card match.
Right. And then, of course, we said Nosawa was supposed to face Terry Funk, but they had to switch the card around, and they got Akebono for that show. And man, Akebono, we talked about him when we talked about the Big Japan show. Akebono looked really bad. Maybe he had a bad day, but
maybe so.
On that show here, on the Tokyo Gurantai show, Akebono had tons of fun when he had this match with Nosawa. Nosawa trying to... What?
The best comedy spot ever in this match. With Nosawa going for the Mahistraw cradle.
Hey, this cradle he did with Akebono. Akebono did a great Mahistraw cradle.
I know. I just kind of sat there watching it. I was like, this made watching this show worth it.
You really have to... Akebono really rolled through a cradle.
You have to see this.
You really have to see this.
Listeners, believe us. I know it's Tokyo Gurantai. I know you're not familiar with
this. This is a 7-minute match. Come on.
Yes, exactly. Akebono was awesome here, and it's just very fun. Nosawa squashing himself, just great.
Yeah. Just great spots in this match. And the greatest thing about this match was you could visibly see Akebono laughing about Nosawa when he tried to chop Akebono down.
Yes, that was
great. And then a fun main event. The main event was built. Summer Dream, Shock of Midsummer, Masato Tanaka, Kotaro Suzuki, and Harashima. Great team, actually. Taking on Seiya Sanada, Masada, and Fujita, a not-so-great team.
Yeah.
With Sanada basically doing all the work in this match. He had great sequences with Harashima, with Suzuki, and also with Tanaka. Masada and Fujita came in, had their spots, but nothing really fancy. In the end, a great finish to this match when Kotaro Suzuki did the Blue Destiny to Fujita and held him up so that Tanaka could deliver his sliding D.
Yeah, that was cool.
That looked great. And also, Sanada in another role than his Los Ingobernables role. That was something for you, I guess.
Yeah, you know, he had his good moments here in the match. I think this would have been a great match if Ikuto Hidaka had reformed his old team with Minoru Fujita and just knocked out Masada. Or really just anybody of worth would have knocked out Masada. but anyway, it was pretty good. It was a good main event. I really liked Kotaro in particular. I thought he looked really good. Harashima, obviously. Tanaka, and like you said, that finish was awesome. Sanada, he did some good stuff. He had kind of a weird like dropkick thing he tried to do at one point off the top rope, I saw.
Yes, he's kind of slipped from the top rope. Yeah,
yeah, just a minor little thing there. But compared to his partners, you know, like that's the least of his work. But you know, good main event, though, I thought. You know, definitely a solid trios match. It's good to see, and Fujita's one of those guys, like I said, his team with Hidaka, I really enjoyed against all odds of Fujita's limitations, just in case you doubted Hidaka's team. So I always, whenever I see him on one of these Gurantai shows, I have good memories. And I remember those memories rather than watching his matches, usually these days, because it's not good watching Fujita.
Yeah. Well, Tokyo Gurantai is a strange group of guys. I wouldn't exactly compare them to the Juggalos, but it's certainly a weird thing what they are
in that vein.
Yeah. It's something around that, because they always get those guys, those legends. Nosawa is a great booker. Because he just doesn't care. He just books the guys he likes, and he seems to have a lot of fun with it, and he seems to have success with it. So he keeps booking guys like Mil Mascaras. Like, I think he's having a singles match with Mil Mascaras. I think in November or something like that. Something like that. I have in the back of my head. Let me just quickly search that on my Twitter.
If it's Mil, it'll be the main event for sure.
I think they are working Kurikan Hall. Mascaras.
And it will all be because of Mil Mascaras. if there's any success.
Of course. But before that, before November, they have a show in Shinkiba, the Tokyo One Night Stand 2, which is, yeah, basically an ECW reunion show in Tokyo, with the following card. Hikaru Sato against Takuya Kai.
Better than Hikaru Sato.
Yeah. We have a match called Battle Packs. Buffalo and Black Tiger against Daisuke Ikeda and Kotaro Suzuki.
Hey, Striga. Who's Black Tiger?
Dylan, wait for the next match.
Okay.
We have Smob versus Hagure IGF Gun, Akebono and Shogun Okamoto against Kendo Kashin and Shogun Okamoto.
wait, what?
Yes.
What?
I double checked that, but it just says Shogun Okamoto on both sides of the both teams.
Well, whose side will he be on?
I think this is the new Black Tiger myth.
Is that who it is?
I don't know.
The new Okamoto? Okamoto 3, you know, Shogun no. Okamoto 4, and everything else?
No clue. We have three other matches. A three-way dance. Tajiri taking on Super Crazy, taking on Jiro Ikemen Kuroshio.
Yeah,
should be fun. We have the BWO Japan of Men's Teo, Shiryu, and Dick Togo going against Tokyo Gurentai, Kikusawa, Fujita, and Masada. And a three-way tag team match. Tommy Dreamer and Masato Tanaka against Shane Douglas and Nosawa Rongai against Jun Kasai and Kai.
Yes, Kai. Living his dream is the next owner.
This card is so incredible. I got another card.
Before we get to that, I just want to remind you of what you said about Sasaki being the next Onita.
Yes.
He's going to have to fight Kai for that title before we get there.
We have another show. The card came out today is the Hard Hit Best of the Super Grapplers show.
Oh yeah, that's right up my alley.
Right up your alley with some matches announced for October 2nd in Shinkiba. Three Hard Hit Grappling Rules matches. Takuya Wada against Sushi. Ruji Sai against Takahisa Matsumoto. That's a guy from Beauties of Nature. He is he has a BJJ background and is 6-5 in MMA. Then Hideki Suzuki against Hikaru Sato.
Yes, that is exactly
under hard hit rules. This will rule.
I cannot wait for that.
Then there is a next contenders 1-day tournament with some guys, some unknown guys, and Shibata in the tournament as well as Kenta Hattori, and some guys I just don't know, so I not going to mention them.
I would love if you just said Shibata and Kenta.
No. And also competing at this hard-hit show are Kotaro Suzuki, Koji Iwamoto, a guy named Emi Tomimatsu, or I think it's a guy, could be a girl too, I don't know, Emi, could be a girl's name too.
But yeah, I always think of Emi Sakura.
Right. But most definitely two other girls, Kaori Yoneyama and Hiroyo Matsumoto. Dylan.
My heart just skipped a beat a second there. I want to bring this up on the last episode. This outpouring of support over my public admittance to my crush on Hiroyo Matsumoto. I was taken aback by this. I also want to note the person that criticized me for liking Matsumoto decided to say, I didn't say anything that bad about her. You know, it was just, you know, it was, come on. And I was like, okay, whatever. So, but anyway, I want to thank the people out there who supported me and supported the great Matsumoto with her pro wrestling tees t-shirt. There's a lot of controversy going on in the podcast world in general. A certain podcaster got all riled up because he wanted more money or something out of it. He didn't, in his mind, he didn't get paid enough.
Okay.
Or something like that. Something like that. I may be wrong about this. I loosely followed this story. I can't even say for sure who this was, to be honest with you. But well, it was someone like that.
I have to admit, I have no idea what you're talking about, but...
Well, let me just get to my point here.
All right. All right.
Give us all your money. No, I'm not. I love the fact that it's a free show for all the people. But if I was personally to ever do something like that, some sort of GoFundMe or something, it would have to be with the idea of me flying to Japan and attempting to go on a date with the awesome Lady Destroyer and Joshi Godzilla, Hiroyu Matsumoto. Something that is my dream in life now. Whether I do that or not, I'm starting savings as we speak.
I would totally support you.
I know. I would. I think for, I don't know how much it would cost, but I don't know how that works or anything. But I imagine the stories I would tell. I would shoot video of it, of our date. I get her to say hello to all the supporters or whatever, but regardless of if I get any support or not, I'm starting a savings account as of now with that goal in mind to date Hiroyu Matsumoto. All I need is one, just for the stories I could tell on this podcast.
Man, what a turn.
And I do it for you. I do it for the listeners.
Of course. Okay? Only for the listeners. What a turn this show has taken right now. As we have already reached the Matsumoto portion of the show.
You brought her up, Trigger.
Yeah. It's all my fault again, of course. Well, there is no easy transition from Hiroyu Matsumoto to J-Stage. But J-Stage is something I wanted to talk about. I don't want to talk about the entire show. It was a fun indie show with some lesser-known guys and some very well-known guys like Hiroki, like in the main event, for example, Masaki Mochizuki. And also, the top two matches are really what stood out from this show. So J-Stage is a project that really brings together a lot of different guys from different Japanese indie groups, and it's a lot of fun. In this co-main event we had basically Team Guts World facing Team Heat Up as Daisuke and Tatsuhiko Yoshino from Guts World faced Koji Iwamoto and Daisuke Kanehira from Heat Up. And we've been talking about Koji Iwamoto in this show, but I don't think we mentioned that Kanehira is a great guy as well. He almost looks like T-Hawk from Dragon Gate mixed up with Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's a good description of him. A very, very good job on that one, Trigger.
Yeah, thank you.
I really love that tag match.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Daisuke, Guts World, Yoshino, all those guys. He looked really good here. I really loved his interactions with Kanehira. To me, for the semi-main event of a show, and just to briefly touch on this match, it was kind of a crazy show. I wanted to touch on the first thing on the show. A bunch of teenage girls come out.
Oh yeah, please.
This idol group, and just to do dancing and stuff. The only thing I noted on this was that the first song they did was really good. The second song was not as good, but the one in the sky blue skirt looked like Kairi Hojo. And then I took some notes here. With the singles match, I noted black tights guy pinned red and black pants guy with sit out powerbomb. It was a decent match. And there's a completely insane Brahmin Brothers match that I skipped over most of it. understandably, I feel like. And then my next notes I took on that was there's a nifty long time close up of the turnbuckle hook after the Brahmin Brothers match. That's where my head was at while watching this show. And then the idol group comes out again.
Yes.
And the first song again was really good, so check them out. But then we got to the great matches.
Yes,
and I love that tag match.
Totally Japanese and indie wrestling with some weird stuff happening on the undercards, an idol group performing, and then we got to the great matches. It's totally.
Yes, this was Japanese indie.
Yes. We had the main event was, Mochizuki? Masaki Mochizuki and Minoru Tanaka taking on Seki Yoshioka and Yuya Suzumu, an unlikely team. But much like Koji Doi from Wrestle One on this show, Seki Yoshioka also looked better outside of his home promotion of Wrestle One than he does in Wrestle One. Because this tag team of Mochizuki and Tanaka worked great, and the younger guys, Suzumu is slowly turning heads, I believe. He's been around for some time, I think almost 10 years right now, but he's in Freedoms, which is not getting that much attention and not that much talked about, but he's a good guy. And Seki Yoshioka is a cruiserweight, basically, in Wrestle One, also a good guy. And they got the main event in this show, and they really delivered.
Yeah, I totally agree. Tanaka is awesome, as always, I thought. Mochizuki was really good, too. I thought the other team was... Susumu looked really good, too, here, I thought. And just in general, much like the match before, much like the semi-main, it was a good match, you know, and after a show, especially, like I said, the show preceding these two matches was very bizarre, and you know, just, I was kind of wondering what the point of all this was, until the main events, but the last two matches definitely are worth a watch.
Yes.
And I really loved the main event, too. Like I said, Mochizuki did his, you know, kip-up spinning kick thing off the turnbuckle. That's the best way I can
Triangle kick.
Yeah, the triangle kick.
I always have to look up the Japanese name for that, but it's the triangle kick.
Yeah,
This show, of course, this J-Stage show can be found on the award-winning Real Hero Network. And back to my point of Tokyo Gurantai, Nosawa Rongai is indeed facing Mil Mascaras in Currican Hall on November 28. And he also said he wants to face Terry Funk at a later date because the match didn't happen. So that's your Tokyo Gurantai update. Okay. Yes. And one thing I wanted to touch on before we leave. Two things, actually. We talked about the Heat Up guys in this J-Stage, on this J-Stage show, and friend of the show, Phil, the user at Statoke, he is a great fan of Heat Up.
He's a really cool guy, too.
Really cool guy, too. Yeah, met him in London. Cool guy. Good to hang around with. He is investing a lot of time to promote Heat Up in the Western world. And he has put his time to promote the that's the wrong card I have here, actually. It's the card for the 31st. Let me just quickly go back to his Twitter. There is a show coming up from Heat Up in Kawasaki. The show is headlined by Katsuhiro Tamura and Minoru Suzuki in the main event, and it's in an arena. The arena is called, now my browser is freezing again. This is all working out today for us. What the fuck? Wait a second.
Language, mister.
I'm sorry. So sorry.
No, that's okay.
Well, I probably have to talk about something else before I find that again. So, quickly turning to another topic while I'm searching for that. We talked about Lance End. No, we didn't talk about Lance End, but we talked about Rujisai. And Rujisai is, of course, is promoting his new group of Lance End. And there was something strange I saw on the Lance End Facebook, which I really couldn't find anything else about. But it's saying here on the Facebook of Heat of Land's End, notice of Land's End World Series, large voyage to the ends of the world. Land's End will be landing in Hong Kong, South Korea, Vietnam, and will also be landing in the United Kingdom as part of the next world tour. And here are two dates that are mentioned. Apparently, Land's End is coming to, apparently Land's End is coming to London and Wales on October 5 and 6, but I have no further information.
And you'll be there for those shows.
I have no idea if I'm going to be there.
I thought it was funny if you just said Antarctica. There is the land there.
Yeah. That would be crazy too. So
that's actually quite a coup though for him to travel this. And so that's quite a coup for him to travel to these UK, Korea, all these different places.
Yeah, but I really have no clue what is really going on there.
He learned from the best in Otani of promoting.
So basically the thing that is all coming down to is that Ruji Sai with Pro Wrestling Land's End is going to visit the actual Land's End in Great Britain. So that's the main issue here. So
he's just going to go? There's not going to be any rep show, or he's just going to go there?
I don't know. It just says October 5, Land's End London show, and October 6, Land's End Wales show.
Well, there's a show then, at least.
Yeah, and there is something like challenge from the British Empire, and that's it.
I'm sure the British Empire has really got their eye on Pro Wrestling
Yes.
Land's End. that's their biggest threat. They want to go after next. But yeah, I was about to say, if it's just him just going to different places, this is like Global Force.
Yes, level. Or 01 making starting up all those promotions like 01 Spain and 01 Ireland and
Belarus.
Yes. Don't forget that, of course.
They were my friends on Facebook at one point.
Oh,
Pro Wrestling 01 Belarus was
nice.
I don't think they're around anymore.
I have no idea. But yeah, let's briefly touch on this Heat Up show as we close out the show. I don't think we are going to run through all the matches, but let's talk about the main matches of this Heat Up show. So Heat Up is running this place. The arena is called the Todoroki Arena in Kawasaki. And Heat Up has been running the Kawasaki Kanagawa region for some time now, basically building up to their show. And almost on every Kawasaki show, they have been booking Tatsumi Fujinami, and he's on this show as well. So let me just look what matches I can find. First, we can go through the matches, I think. It's Kenichiro Arai and Masahiro Takanashi and Leona against Fuminori Abe, Yu Izuka, which is a new trainee from Heat Up, and another partner yet to be named. Then there is a match with Yagua Yotoka, and I don't think they have a match set for her yet. But there is then Shiro Koshinaka and Hiroshi Kondo against Saiko and Shango. Shiro Koshinaka is still going in this day and age. Which is amazing. Then, fourth match of the show, Yoshiaki Fujiwara and Hiroshi Watanabe and Kotaro Nasu against Mineo Fujita, Rocky Kawa. I have to quickly explain why I always say Rocky. Because we've been brought up in Germany not saying Rocky to the Rocky series of movies, because there is a German voiceover and they always say Rocky, and that's why I keep saying Rocky instead of Rocky. That's That's the explanation here.
So one of my favorite movies.
Yes,
can appreciate this gimmick.
So Mineo Fujita, Rocky Kawamura, and Daisuke Kanemura, teaming against the team of Fujiwara I just mentioned. We have an interesting eight-man tag match. Tatsumi Fujinami, Daisuke Kanihira, we mentioned him on this show, Koji Iwamoto, and Shinya Ishida, taking on Takao Omori, Jake Lee, Yoe Nakajima, and Yuma Aoyagi.
Yeah, I like those guys too.
That should be a great match. It's Heat Up versus All Japan in the semi-main event of that show. And then, as we mentioned, Katsuhiro Tamura taking on Minoru Suzuki in the main event of this show in Todo Roki Arena. I think it holds about 6,000 people. It's going to be interesting to see how much they draw here in Kawasaki. What I can say is that Heat Up recently outdrew Noah in the same building.
Yeah. You know, I'm not surprised. Their shows are much better.
They have name value on their card, and I think also Minoru Suzuki is going to be much more motivated outside of pro wrestling Noah.
Tamura will get something good out of him. Either way, I think I like Tamura a lot.
And
Heat Up or All Japan.
Right.
So that should be cool. I actually am looking forward to that. I got some heat on Twitter for my criticism of Suzuki and Noah.
Oh.
To those people. And I responded by saying I loved him in his tag team with Takayama. So, Takayama. So, but in Noah, no. In this match, I think it'll be a lot of interesting things to see how this does, and I can't believe they're doing such a big building in a lot of ways. But I think the big question is, will they outdraw Wrestle One for their big show?
Oh yeah, we didn't come to the topic of Wrestle One, but it's just we ran
just
out
know
of time.
They drew like 2,000 people.
Yeah, like 2,000 people in Yokohama, right? We're probably going to touch on Wrestle One sometime in the future, but this show they ran in Yokohama, I don't have much to say about that.
Do you think that Heat Up could outdraw them?
I don't know.
That would be a huge victory for Heat Up, in my opinion.
That would be great, but I'm not sure if Heat Up is able to draw 2,000 people. I just don't know.
No, I don't think so.
They've never been in that region, you know?
Yeah, that's another issue, but it sounds like a really fun show.
Yes, it should be a fun show. So check out Pro Wrestling Heat Up also on the award-winning Real Hero Network. And Dylan, as you already mentioned, your Twitter, where can people find you online?
Check me out, Dylan0PF, capital D, capital Z, capital P, capital S. And I just want to say one thing real quick as we're wrapping up this show. And I want to talk about a big, major event happening tonight. We're recording this on Thursday, by the way.
Yes.
The start of NFL season in America.
Okay.
And I want to shout out to my team, the Carolina Panthers, who are playing tonight in the Super Bowl rematch. It is going to be huge and spectacular. The true football will triumph.
What?
In America. I know, I said it. You know, I will say that Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, Jay Stu, all my friends, and hope the boys in black and blue represent well this season. That is the official NFL team of this podcast, the Eastern Lariat Podcast.
Is that so?
Do you have a different favorite team in NFL?
No.
Jesse likes the Saints, who are a rival team to my team, by the way.
Oh, I guess then I like the Saints.
Hey, don't take her side. She's not on this podcast. I'm your friend, but I like her. So you know, the Saints are okay. But still, how's soccer going in Bundesliga?
Oh, it's just the second game is this weekend. Mm-hmm. They just had a brief intermission for European qualifiers. So last weekend, Germany had a match against Norway. They won. Was fine. But
Norway, a big deal.
Yeah. Back to Bundesliga next weekend.
Yeah, well, just shout out to the listeners. Hit me up on Twitter with your thoughts on wrestling, ProRes. you know, should I date, should I make this trek and make this attempt to date Hiroyo Matsumoto?
Yes.
That's a very question. I think.
We need to know if we have to set up a GoFundMe.
Either way, I will try this, with or without your support. But no, talk to me about NFL too if you want, football.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me all your favorite teams.
Talk to him about NFL and don't at me, please. As I am, no, I don't hate it. I just don't. I'm just not interested. That's just it.
You never went to NFL Europe?
No.
The Ryan Fire was never.
Yeah,
never,
yeah. Never. No, not really. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at STRIGGA. You can find me on purolove.com. You can find me on cagematch.net. And I think there is another site where you can find Dylan.
Check out ProWrestlingSpirit.net. As always, we have the news and all that stuff.
Right.
Getting back into swing of things going into September. Very busy month in August for both of us.
Yeah, well, just let me just say one thing. If things got a little chaotic on this podcast, it's just because I barely have internet since yesterday, and I have been trying to keep up with all the news, but it's just, as I said on the last show, it's difficult to just not have internet on your computer and just being dependent on your mobile phone. That's just it's just bad. But
didn't you go out to the middle of the park and just watch ProRes? Did you tell me that?
Yeah, I used the free Wi-Fi to translate some results. I did. Yeah, I did that.
A man of the outdoors.
Yeah, it's still a great late summer here in Germany. So I figured, why not go to the outside and take the notebook with me and just do it there instead of inside. There are plenty of months left here in Germany where going to the outside isn't really an option, you know?
Yeah, that's true. We're probably coming up on those. I love the winter, though, so I can't wait.
Okay.
I'm a full-blown, my nickname in Spanish sometimes, you know, you said it earlier, but
it's misleading sometimes.
It's Corazón del Pingüino is what I'm known as sometimes to my whenever I try to hit on Latina girls. That's what I'm introduced as. That's what they know me as sometimes. Oh, but
sounds like it could work, actually. Maybe I have to try that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Right. Yeah, so thanks for listening, and please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, on the feed of your choice, on Podcast Addict, whatever you choose. Just leave us a review, and we would be very happy about that. Right, Dylan?
Yes, even better than trying to get me to date Matsumoto.
Yes.
You should review our show and give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's even more important in the grand scheme of things.
Right. So that has been the show. Thanks for listening again, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.